Hey, this is John Ortberg, and I am still a sinner, but God and I are working on that, and He'll work on that with you too, because in this community, the worse your story, the warmer you're welcome, and when God gets into it, your mess actually becomes your message. We've been walking through the 12 steps. They're associated with AA, but AA got it from the church. Now the church needs them back, and this is a way of life. And the first 7 steps really have to do with me and my relationship with God and my own moral and spiritual character. But of course, this is not just about me or us as individuals. This is something that we do together. And now in step 8, we turn to relationships, because the purpose of spiritual development, spiritual growth is never just me. It's always for the sake of the world and for the sake of love. And so in step 8, we get a new story to build our relationships on. And step 8 is a big one. Made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. You will notice the word all used twice in there. Made a list of everybody you have ever harmed. This is going to be a big one. And then now you can relax and take a breath. You're not doing anything yet. We're not actually taking any action. This is just trying to flip that switch internally to become willing. And that involves getting a new set of relational eyes and a new story to build our relationships on. It's not about what did they do wrong to me, but what might I have done wrong to other people, where because I'm seeking to live in love, now I want to repair it. This is a different way than we normally operate. You listen to people talk. Listen to how gossip works. What normally happens? Two people get together. Let me tell you what my boss did, or what my coworker did, or what my crazy relative did, or what my difficult neighbor did, or what my business competitor did, or what this student did, or what this teacher, what some famous person did. Let me tell you what crazy thing. Can you believe it? Not very often do you hear people get together and say, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you how I messed up yesterday. Let me tell you how I hurt somebody yesterday. Well, I really got to, can you believe I did this? But now in step 8, because we are so weighted towards noticing the wrong that others have done, and yet the only wrong that I'm actually responsible for, the only wrong that I can actually repair with God's help, the wrong that damages my soul and to which I bring wrong into the world, is the wrong that I have done. So that's what we're doing in step 8. Became willing. Made a list. All the persons that we'd harmed became willing to make amends. Now, the poster boy for this in the New Testament is a man named Zacchaeus. You might know his story. If you haven't, it's well worth considering. So in the time that's left in this video, I want us to walk through it. This is from Luke chapter 19, and we'll see what it's like to become willing, what that looks like, how that might work for you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, this little detail is significant. In the ancient world, there wasn't a lot of excitement, not a lot of stuff going on, couldn't watch Netflix, so a big-time rabbi comes to town. You hope he's going to stick around. Apparently, Jesus is not. He's just en route, so they'd be kind of disappointed that he wasn't going to stay. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So now we know something about this guy. We would have been deeply disliked by the people around him. He was a tax collector. That meant he colluded with the despised Romans to get money from his own people to enrich Caesar, who was oppressing them. And typically with tax collectors, they would agree on some lump sum for their district. But then if they raised excess, they could keep all the excess they raised. So it was an occupation that was given to corruption. And Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, he was chief tax collector. And not just that, he was wealthy. People have feelings about this kind of thing. In our day, if you pay any attention to the news at all, you will notice there's lots of stories about a very wealthy guy who has lots of access to treasury details right now and leads a company that made a couple billion dollars last year and apparently did not pay federal income tax about that. People have feelings about this kind of thing. So there's nothing new going on here. We can kind of relate. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, Luke goes on, But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him, and Jesus was coming that way. He was short, Luke notes. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we used to sing a song. You might have heard of it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and it makes it sound kind of cute, almost like Scottish or something. But it was not cute. There's a New Testament scholar, Amos Young, and he notes that Luke and good ancient writers in general don't just throw in details for no reason at all. Luke here, who was a physician, actually uses a term that described what we in our day would call pathological dwarfism. In other words, most likely Zacchaeus would have been considered quite deformed, and he would have been the brunt of all kinds of ridicule, and he would have been stigmatized. In fact, there's a verse in the Old Testament, just to tell you what Zacchaeus had to live with through his life. Leviticus 21, verse 20. Philip Yancey writes about this in his book on grace. And according to Leviticus, for generations to come, no descendants who have a defect may come near to offer the food of God in the temple. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed. No man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is hunchbacked or dwarfed, or has any eye defect, or festering or running sores. One rabbi said the idea of uncleanness or defects would generally be if something was abnormal. And in our day, this kind of thing is very difficult for us to read or to understand. Part of the idea seems to be in the ancient world, shalom was something that people prized. And the idea was that there's a way that creation is supposed to be, and it's to be healthy and wholesome and whole and good and blemish-free and defect-free. And the temple was to be a place that was going to reflect that. But of course, that led to all kinds of pain and exclusion and what Miroslav Volf called the deadly result of the politics of purity. And part of what we see when Jesus comes is, you know, everybody who was stigmatized, who was excluded, shut out from that temple, now I'm building a new temple, now you come to me. So he's revealing more clearly now that people are ready for it, what shalom and inclusion and love looks like. But here's the point. Zacchaeus most likely would have grown up with a real strong sense of being stigmatized, being rejected, being unwanted. So on both sides, you have people that are kind of engaged in the victim Olympics. The people in Jericho are being victimized by Rome, and Zacchaeus is colluding with them, so he deserves any bad that comes his way. Zacchaeus looks at them and they have shut him out. They have ridiculed and mocked him because of his stature and so. So you know what? If I can make some money off of this, you deserve it. Into the midst of all of that resentment and festering dislike and political polarization, here comes Jesus. When he reaches the spot, when he gets to the sycamore tree, he looked up. Zacchaeus was not counting on that. And said, Zacchaeus. Now the crowd is gathering with him. And they're expecting a good moral rabbi to dress this guy down. Zacchaeus, you're a train wreck. Zacchaeus, you're a mess. Zacchaeus, woe be to you. And of course, Jesus could give woe be's to people. But generally, he did that to the folks who consider themselves to be religiously elite and were judgmental and self-righteous, and to excluded, marginalized, scandalized people like tax collectors, he'd often have quite a different message, and he does here. This is kind of shock people. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed gladly. Now the crowd, you know, he's already kind of disappointed because Jesus isn't going to stay. And then they find out that he's going to stay. And that's great news. But then he's going to go stay with Zacchaeus. Are you kidding me? This would have been scandalous. Jesus is getting in trouble with people. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So now Jesus is getting in trouble. In that day, Zacchaeus, a wealthy guy, A meal like this would typically take place in an open courtyard. It would be quite a public setting in a place like Jericho. Not a lot going on. People would go there to see what's happening. And so Zacchaeus sees there's all these people who are offended by what Jesus has done and are gossiping about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did. So Jesus now is suffering because of his care for Zacchaeus. And something happens in Zacchaeus' heart. Not just the way that he looks at Jesus, but the way that he looks at the people around him through Jesus' eyes. And he begins to get new relational eyes. And they're not just people who have hurt him. They are people who he has hurt. And he sees a widow who lost her home because of him. He sees a couple of orphan boys who now have to beg for food on the streets because of him. He sees somebody who's sick, who couldn't afford medicine because of him. He sees a merchant who's lost his business because of him. And all of a sudden, he makes a list of the people that he's harmed. And he stands up. Now, this would be a very dramatic moment. Middle Eastern cultures, in a place like that, when the host stands up to make a speech, that would often happen to honor whoever the guest was going to be. Everybody would listen, but nobody saw this speech coming. Remember, this is step 8. Made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything," and the idea there is there would be lots of folks like that, "I will pay back 4 times the amount." And then Jesus says to Zacchaeus today, "Salvation has come to this house, because this man too, this wee little man, this tax collector, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, when Zacchaeus stands up and says, "Half of what I got's going to the poor, and whoever I cheated, I pay back 4 times," everybody is stunned. Even Mrs. Zacchaeus is thinking, "Hey, shouldn't we have talked about this ahead of time?" But a little switch has been flipped inside of him. And this is step 8. See, in step 8, instead of thinking about who's hurt me or how much have I got or how is my life going, I actually try to put myself in the place of other people. And I flip a switch inside myself. And you can begin to ask God to do this today, to make my concern cleaning house and setting things right and doing relational repair and making amends. We're going to talk about that more over the next couple of days. So if you want, stay with on this journey. But just for today, if you've already done step 4 in a thorough way, you got a whole list of folks that you have hurt. If you haven't, if you're just kind of exploring and dipping a toe into the steps, then I would invite you today, just name one person. Make it an easy. Make somebody that you like, where you know you'll be able to help them. Or make it somebody that's dead that you did wrong to, because you know, you're not going to be able to. Don't make it somebody that you'd like it if they were dead. Make it somebody that it would be easy. And just ask God, "God, would you make me willing to make amends?" And then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.